I didn't go to LA Comic Con as much as I survived LA Comic Con this year. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for December 5th, 2022. I am your host, Greg Hernandez, and yeah, I got my ass kicked at LA Comic Con this year, and I wish I could say that, like, oh, it was a party. It was wild. It was Murphy's Law, motherfucker, and anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And that being said, I should probably give the following disclaimer. The stories I'm about to tell have nothing to do with the LA Comic-Con people or how they ran their show, because I don't want them pissed off at me and not inviting me back next year. Okay, now that's out of the way, I don't know, did I kick a black cat? Did I punch a midget? What happened that karma just fist-fucked me all weekend? I don't know. Oh my god. All right, first off, Friday pretty much went off without a hitch. I will say that. Friday was cool. Not a whole lot going on as far as like panels and, stuff on the main stage, not a lot going on because they know you're going to spend your money on Saturday. So all the cool shows, main stage stuff, all the cool panels, everything started on Saturday. All right. I will say this. I should have known doom was setting in because I got there on Friday. I got to the convention center, found the parking structure, paid for parking, and found a parking space all within the span of 10 minutes. That never happens. Should have known right there I was going to get my ass kicked for the rest of the weekend, because this weekend was off to a way too good of a start. That should have been my first fucking clue. But we'll get to that in time, because, like I said, Friday without a hitch. Friday, for those of you who have never been to a convention like the whole weekend, here's basically my game plan. You get there on the first day, and you get your bearings about you. You walk around the convention hall, in this case, both halls, because there's a south hall and the west hall, and you just see, okay, what vendors are where, who's signing what, what's going on, where's, all right. So that's what I did. I walked around the convention and just kind of like, oh, hey, look, these cosplayers are here. Artist Alley's right here. I'm taking in all the nerdy awesomeness. That's what I'm doing. And so far, Friday is going off great. Friday, I've had worse Fridays at LA Comic Con. I had one year I was there. My girlfriend at the time, bitch, was in the fashion show that they used to do on the first day of LA Comic Con. She was in the fashion show, which got us industry badges. Now, the cool thing about industry badges is you get into the con as soon as you get to the building. Meaning, if the con starts at 2 and you get there at noon, they fucking let you in at noon. And you walk around, you talk to the vendors, people setting up, and that's what I did. This was a couple years ago. This was quite a few years ago. And I walked around, I talked to vendors, I talked to artists, because there's not any fans in. She's over at the fashion show, they're setting that shit up. And I'm walking around, and a guy 30 feet in front of me drops and has a seizure. He drops. It's him and his two buddies. They're walking around. Dude drops and has a seizure. I have EMT training. It's 20 years old, so I'm going to assume it's out of date, but not a whole lot of shit changes in the sense that dude has a seizure. You roll him over on his side so he doesn't choke to death when he fucking vomits. And they do vomit, folks. That does happen. So again, I jump in, roll him over on his side, support his head, and his buddies are just looking at me just dumbfounded. And I looked at one of them and I said, hey, if you could find like a paramedic or, you know, somebody, that would be great. Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing after this guy stops seizing. I'm clueless. Like I said, training's 20 years out of date. So he takes off running. I'm holding the guy's head. I tell the other guy, kneel behind him, hold his weight, because basically I'm holding this guy on his side by his head, and I'm afraid I'm going to twist his head off. Paramedics come running down, and they start asking me what happened. I said, he dropped and has a seizure. And they did their paramedic thing. How old is he? Does he have a history of seizures? Were there any head injuries? I went, I met this guy 38 seconds ago. I have no fucking idea. And they went, oh. And they start talking to his buddies, start asking questions. And I got the fuck out of there. So as far as Fridays go, I've had worse Fridays. Not as bad as this guy did, obviously. But I've had worse Fridays at LA Comic Con. Anyway, this one, dirt simple. This one was great. Very low-key, like I said. I will say this. I'm picking up wrestling again pretty soon. I'm actually getting back in the ring, gonna get serious, start doing shows on a regular basis. So I have been killing myself over the last few weeks. Tightened up my diet, hitting the gym twice a day, because, well, I'm unemployed now, so I got nothing else to do. So hitting the gym twice a day. I get to LA Comic Con, and I was walking around for a few hours, and I found the food trucks. Sweet baby Jesus. Oh my God. The last 2 weeks of training, I fucked up with one Wagyu brisket beef sandwich. Heaven. Sweet, sweet heaven. Oh my God. So, as you can see, Friday went off great. Friday was awesome. There were things I noticed that cracked me up, and one of those things was, this has been a policy for years. At all conventions, obviously you got cosplayers, they have cosplay weapons. The convention staff has to check the weapons to make sure they're not dangerous. I get that. Security purposes, totally understand that. Okay, I've seen, like, you have no idea how many Hawkeye or Green Arrow or Legolas cosplays I've seen that were ruined because these people made arrows and the staff wouldn't let them bring them in for safety purposes. Again, I get it, totally understand. Sucks for these guys, for the cosplayers, but I get it. Check the weapons, make sure they're not dangerous. Got it. Common sense shit. Again, that being said, I almost laughed my ass off because I'm walking past this guy in a Starfleet uniform. We're talking Star Trek Next Generation era Starfleet uniform, and it's pretty tight. This is a decent, like, this dude put some time into this shit because the command insignias are on point. He's got the comm badge. He's got the phasers, the tricorders, like, everything is just on point. Except I see the sticker. I see the purple band around his phaser that indicated that the weapon was checked to make sure it was safe. Really? Did we have to check the hand phaser, make sure it wasn't real? Did it have to be set on stun? Could it not be set on kill? What the fuck? Why? I get it. I get checking the swords, the knives, the arrows. I get that shit. Anybody coming in like Gears of War or Punisher cosplays, you want to check the guns, make sure they're not dangerous. That part I get. These people checked the phasers. They checked the phaser to make sure it wasn't really? See, folks, there's the letter of the law, there's the spirit of the law. And sometimes the letter of the law is fucking retarded. But I laughed my ass off. So, If their goal was to keep everyone safe, I get it. I commend you for it. But if the side effect was you made me laugh like a fucking toddler, mission accomplished. So once again, Friday went off without a hitch. It was great. Show went till like 9 o'clock. I think I pulled the ripcord at 8 because I had been on my feet since I got there at 2. And I'd been in a car for 2.5 hours before that, so I'm pretty zapped at this point. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna call it early. I'm gonna go to my hotel. I'm gonna check in, and cool. I'm gonna tap out for today. Okay. Now, I walk back to the parking structure. I get in my car. I pull out of the parking space, and then I sit there for a second and I look at it longingly, because at no point will I ever have another parking space that I found 10 minutes after I got there. So I'm already looking at this place, at this parking space, like it's a long-lost friend. I drive to my hotel, and hotel is pretty much a shithole, okay? It really is, but for the price I paid, not gonna bitch about it, all all right? I wanted four walls, a roof, and a bed, and essentially that's all I got. All right. I get there, I check in, it's almost 9 o'clock, and oh, by the way, this hotel, this concierge, I guess we'll call him, fucking dirty fuck behind the counter, that's all he was, but rang my phone off the hook for like 2 hours, confirming that I was checking in. I was at the convention. Folks, I don't answer phone numbers that I don't recognize. So if you've ever called me up and got my voicemail, guess what? It's because I didn't know your number, all right? Anybody I want to talk to is in my contacts list, and if I don't recognize the number, I don't know you. So the same number called me 2, 3, 4 times, I don't remember, but it was just ringing my phone off the hook, and finally I answer, and it's a gentleman with a really thick Middle Eastern accent. I would try to impersonate it, but I don't want to end up canceled like the guy who did a poo on The Simpsons. So anyway, and he's just checking to find out what time I'm checking in. So, all right, I finally get to the hotel. I check in, and of course, like all great hotels, they tell you it's going to be a $100 deposit, which of course is refundable when you check out. All right, so give the guy my card. He runs a $100 hold on my card. We're going to fast forward here to 12 hours ago, all right, when I found out that not only did the hotel charge me a $100 deposit, they also charged me $123.12. For what reason? I have no fucking idea. Explain that shit to me, because I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's. I checked out on Sunday. I didn't find out until... Did they charge me for another day? Motherfucker, that just dawned on me right now. Did they... Because checkout time was at 11. I checked out at 11:06. If those fuckwits charge me for another day, I'm going to be pissed. All right, I'm already off track. Anyway, get to my room. Do you have any idea? I got to my room and... Do you know how you get to the room, you just unpack immediately, you pass out on the bed, and then it dawns on you like a few hours later, like, shit, I haven't eaten since I had that little slice of heaven that was the Wagyu beef brisket burger sandwich, whatever the fuck that thing was. I haven't eaten since then. But by this point, it's now almost midnight. And I don't know, do I want to be roaming the streets of downtown LA at midnight? Like, I'm still a tourist. As much as I go to LA, I'm still a fucking tourist, and tourists die there a lot. You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna go hunt down for Taco Bell. So, got some food, and I've said this before. I have a horrible insomnia. My insomnia sucks. Not any better when I'm in a hotel room in a part of town I'm not familiar with. That, yeah, insomnia kicked my ass. And I bought, because my insomnia is so bad, I actually bought melatonin gummies and a CBD vape. And I will double up on those bitches quite often. That's how bad my insomnia is. And I don't want to hear anybody saying, dude, you need edibles, you need a THC vape. No, don't forget, I'm trying to get my pilot's license and the FAA tends to frown on shit like that. So, we are stuck with melatonin and CBD. That's about as hardcore as I can get. Anyway, I end up falling asleep at 3 in the morning. I wake up at 5, fall back to sleep at 8, wake up at 10. Fucking convention opened at 9, and I woke up at 10 o'clock. All right, first thing that went wrong. That's the first thing. That was the first thing that went wrong. I fell asleep at 3, woke up at 5, fell back to sleep at 8, woke up an hour after the fucking convention opened. Son of a bitch. So I rushed, showered, changed, drove. I will say this, I was lucky to find a hotel that was only like 25 minutes from the convention center. So I lucked out there. I get to the building at about 11:30, roughly. All right, I'm doing the time frame in my head. I want to say I got to the building about 11:30-ish, roughly. I was in my car driving around looking for a parking space. until about 1:15. Yeah, I spent the next hour and 45 minutes driving around looking for a parking space. Like I said before, Saturdays are ridiculously hectic at these things. The second days are always the middle days are. So if you have a 3-day convention, that Saturday is going to be a bitch. San Diego Comic-Con, the Friday, Saturday, son of a bitch. Anyway, ridiculously hectic Saturday. I was in my car for an hour and a half, probably closer to 2 hours. I don't know. I started to lose my shit around the 90-minute mark because all of the parking around the convention center, gone. Absolutely gone. And then you have these like satellite parking lots where these motherfuckers gouge the living shit out of you. Parking went anywhere. Now, when I got to the building on Friday, when I got to LA Convention Center, I paid $25 for parking. Pretty standard. That's pretty standard. That's not, I can't complain. Not bad. These fucking parking lots around the convention center were charging anywhere from $40 to $80 to park your car. Fuck you, $80. I am not paying $80 for a parking space. For $80, I better get a parking space and a happy ending. Fuck that noise, all right? I am not going to pay $80. And seriously, everything around there for blocks was, you could not find anything less than $40. So, like I said, around the 90-minute mark, I start to lose my shit. Coming close to the two-hour mark, I am coming really close to fuck this, all right? I seriously justified in my head, fuck the convention for today. Today's just a loss. That's just, now, people would say, but Greg, you paid to get in there. No, I didn't. I didn't pay to get in. This podcast you're listening to got me a free pass. I got into LA Comic Con for free I got a free press pass because I have this show. So at this point, I've lost nothing. And I was really close to fuck it. So I start, you know what? And I think I did at one point say, you know what? Screw this shit. I'll drive over to Universal City Walk. I'll go to Things from Another World. I'll be a nerd there for a couple of hours. I will hunt down some more incredibly amazing food that'll shave years off my life. And I'll go back to my hotel and watch whatever shit is on their TV. Fuck it. Today's a loss. And I start to drive. I actually punch into my GPS, Universal City Walk, go. And I start driving down Figueroa. And I'm driving away from the convention center. Screw this for today. I'm done. And then I got to 8th and Figueroa. And I happen to look over. I see a parking structure that says $17 flat rate. Fuck yes. Okay. That just saved my day. I look. This parking structure is half a mile from the convention center. You know what? I'm not a fat kid anymore. I can walk half a mile if it saves me $53, $63. I don't know. You do the math. I dropped out of college twice. Whatever that saves me, I'm cool with it. I'm good. So I park, pay my $17, and walk my happy ass back to the LA Convention Center. Okay, cool. That just saved my day. I thought it did. Anyway, don't get ahead of me. Get back to the convention, and because Friday was kind of a get-to-know-your-surroundings day, I didn't do anything but take pictures, all right? I just bought these brand-new lavalier microphones. Oh, they're great. You plug in this Bluetooth receiver into your phone. It has two microphones that you can either clip to your clothing or you can hold like a regular microphone. You can use them for video. You can use them for audio recording. And I went, there we go. I specifically bought these microphones for LA Comic-Con so I can walk around, talk to artists, talk to creators, cosplayers, streamers, and get some interviews, get some stuff I can put on my TikTok, on my YouTube, because I haven't posted shit on YouTube in like a year and a half. I don't need this setup that I'm talking into right now. I just have these portable mics. Fuck yes. Cool. So I talked to some creators. I talked to some artists. I talked to some cosplayers. And I owe all of them a huge apology. I really do. Let's go ahead and we're going to start with the Los Angeles Ghostbusters, who are super cool. I talked to them last year. I got to talk to them this year. There was a gentleman who did a video interview with me and told me all about their organization, told me about the charities that they work with, namely the Starlight Children's Foundation. And this gentleman was amazingly generous with his time to sit and talk to me and tell me what their organization's about. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm apologizing in a second. Don't get ahead of me. But what I am gonna do is I'm gonna give them a shout out. Their website is losangelesgb.com. You can go check out the Los Angeles Ghostbusters. The reason I owe them and everyone else I did interviews with an apology is because halfway through Saturday, I checked my phone and for some reason my phone decided to lobotomize itself and I lost half of the shit I shot. I lost pictures, videos, interviews, gone. All of it. Like I said, folks, like there's gonna be a theme here, and the running theme is Murphy's Law, motherfucker. I overslept, didn't get to the convention in time. When I did get there, spent 2 hours in my fucking car, almost tapped out. I get to the convention. Once I got there, I was finally calmed down. I shoot all these great pictures and videos, footage, awesome. And then my phone said, fuck it, I quit for the day. Yeah. So we're already 0 for 3 on Saturday. Okay. And then, I don't know, okay, this did not go wrong, but I will say I was disappointed when I parked my car and walked the half mile back. I could hear the crazy Comic-Con Christians, all right? Now, I just call them that, the crazy Comic-Con Christians, because they were there last year. And it's these people holding up these picket signs, talking about fear of God, you're going to hell, sinners. And you know what, bro? I'm here to be a nerd. I don't need to hear how I'm going to hell. I have 14 years of Catholic school for that. They did a really good job of telling me why I'm going to hell. Don't need it while I'm at the convention. Go fuck yourself. But they're funny as shit, and they don't mean to be. That's what makes it funnier. When they're not intentionally being funny, like, they're legit. They are seriously telling these cosplayers that they're going to hell for dressing in scantily clad outfits. If I could have got an interview with one of them, I would have done it. But I was already pissed off at how my day started. But these fuckers are crazy. It's fantastic. Here's why I'm disappointed. They weren't as angry this year. I was kind of bummed out about that. Like last year, you had a guy on the corner talking about you're going to hell. And it says in the Bible not to wear costumes, which it doesn't. It doesn't say that at all anywhere. But apparently his Bible said it did. This dude was off his nut last year. This year, the guy was like, we know a lot of you come from dysfunctional families and you need Jesus, you don't need Stan Lee, which cracked me up. I almost pissed myself at that one line. But yeah, they weren't as angry. So I was kind of bummed out. So I don't know if you count that as another thing that went wrong, but it seriously kind of bummed me out just a little bit. Anyway, back to the shit show that has been my Saturday. Yeah, that was everything that went wrong. The whole day wasn't a loss. I did have some bright spots on my Saturday, and here's one of the bright spots. I got to meet Catherine Corcoran from Terrifier, and I'm just walking through. I'm walking through one of the aisles, and I look over and I see a banner with Art the Clown on it. I went, "Whoa, wait, what?" I turn. There's Catherine Corcoran, who was in Terrifier, and she was Dawn. She was. Everyone remembers the hacksaw scene from Terrifier. Dawn was unfortunately the hacksaw-y. She was the poor soul that was just cut in half. And I got to talk to her. Super nice. Oh my God. She was so absolutely nice. And I'm asking her this is going to be redundant. I'm asking her nerdy questions at a comic book convention. Incredibly redundant. Yes, I am well aware. But I had to know the logistics of that scene. How long were you hanging upside down? How long did that scene take to shoot? You know, things like that. And she was super nice, like, oh my God, you know, explaining that they could only hold me upside down for 45 seconds or else you have a seizure, which I'm not sure is true, not according to my 20-year-old EMT training, but you know what? Good on them for looking out for her. She did not hang upside down for more than 45 seconds. She did say that they shot it in New York in like January, so she was quite literally freezing her ass off. But like I said, she was super nice. I got a picture with her, and here's the issue now. Not issue. Here's the situation now. When you meet somebody from a movie that you've watched, and they are super cool, super down to earth, and as nice as she was, guess what? I'm now rooting for her. I am now a member of her cheering section. So I went back as later on, after the rest of my day has gone to shit, went back to my hotel, and she has on the banner, the promotional banner behind her, it's got the movie she's been in. It's got Terrifier. It's got Return to Nukem High. It's got all these trauma films that she was in. And like I said, I'm now a member of her cheering section. So I want to watch another movie that she's been in. And I put on Return to Nukem High. Actual title, Return to Nukem High. Oh my God. I was not prepared for this movie. Oh, holy shit. Okay. I'm aware of trauma films. I am aware of their specific brand of horror grindhouse. I don't know how you'd categorize it. Toxic Avenger is probably their most famous movie they've ever done. But Return to Nukem High. Oh my God. Okay, the best way I could describe this was Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez pitched a grindhouse movie series to Nickelodeon, written by Guillermo del Toro. That is how the best way I could describe this movie. This movie starts out with a shower scene in a women's locker room, very heavily influenced by Carrie. Remember the scene in Carrie where you have all the women in the high school, like the high school gym class, they come in to shower. Carrie gets her first period, and because she's incredibly sheltered, she has no idea what's going on to her, and all the girls just start bullying her because she started her period in the shower. Everyone remembers the Carrie scene, right? Okay, that's how this movie started, where Catherine Corcoran is playing the Carrie role and gets her period in the shower. However, here's where this went drastically off the rails. I don't think I need to clarify this, but I'm going to. I've never owned a vagina, but I'm pretty sure green stuff is not supposed to come out of it. That's what happened in this movie. There was this green Nickelodeon slime type thing that just came out of her hoo-ha. And the movie only got worse from there. And by worse, I mean there are things I can't unsee. I cannot unsee the things that these eyeballs have seen from the opening like 6 minutes of this movie. I was not prepared for that. I wasn't. And anyway, I have no way of actually closing this particular bit of the podcast, so I'm just going to say this. Catherine Corcoran was just an amazingly friendly person. I am still a member of her cheering section, but I'm probably not going to make the mistake of watching another trauma film that she's in sober. That's probably the best I can do. Just go into it half lit and say, hey, I met her and she was awesome. There we go. That was the bright spot of my Saturday. I will say that. Meeting her, and she was so friendly, so just cool and down to earth. And, you know, that was the bright spot of my Saturday. I will say that. Okay. Moving on, because Saturday again is going to, the rest of Saturday is about to shit the bed. I did hit some panels that I wanted to check out. That was actually the first panel I went to was a panel called Why 99% of All Movies Suck Nowadays. Great title. No way I'm missing a panel with that title. That was actually where I found out that half of everything I shot was gone. I went in, I sat down, set up the Bluetooth mics, and I just, while I'm killing some time, so I go check my gallery, and half of everything is gone. That's when I realized it was, most of it was gone. So right there, I'm pissed. But this panel was, it was great. This panel was so original, because what they did, you had some filmmakers, you had some content creators who were talking about basically the way films are made now, because we live in a very quote unquote woke culture. You have to have a checklist. There have to be this many white performers, this many Asian, this many black, this many female, this many, you know, and there are boxes that have to be checked off. And the whole premise to this panel was, why don't we worry about the story and building the characters as people you can support, not items to be checked off of a checklist? How about that? Which is so simple, but it's fucking brilliant. I've said it forever. When I go see a movie, tell me a story. That's what I want. Tell me a story. And honestly, I don't care if there are X amount of white people, X amount of brown people, X amount of Asian people, X amount of gay people. I don't care. Make the characters people I care about by writing good fucking characters. I'm going to take a massive tangent here. I'm going to tangent the fuck out of this right now. I just rewatched True Blood. I just rewatched the entire series. And I want to say this was at least the first show that I remember putting up this checklist. This many white characters, this many black characters, this many gay characters, blah, blah, fucking blah. All right. Every character in that series pissed me off at one point or another. Sookie Stackhouse should not have survived the first fucking season of True Blood. She had this innate talent of putting herself in situations that would have got the average human being fucking killed. She should have died by the 7th episode, maybe 8th, of the first season. Bitch should not have made it out alive. All right? Then you look at her brother, Jason Stackhouse. And Jason Stackhouse was just a meat-headed motherfucker that shocked me that he never shot himself in the face. That, I will say this, Jason was written as a good dude, dumb as dog shit, but if you're dumb but a good person, I can let a lot of shit slide. There's two kinds of idiots in the world, folks. The idiots that know they're idiots, and the idiots that think they're the smartest people in the room. And that second group always pisses me off. So if you're an idiot, but you're a good person, I can let some shit slide. That being said, Jason should have accidentally killed himself who knows how many times in his lifetime. You had Sam Merlot, who just, this sappy motherfucker, like, you are seriously just pining over this waitress. For one thing, you're having a crush on a woman that is one of your employees. Oh my God, that right there is just a whole lot of nope. Okay. And on top of that, he just let himself get taken advantage of by fucking everybody around him. Oh my God. And then you have Tara. Tara hated everybody, but then got an attitude when they hated her back. You can't hate on people and then get offended when they hate you in return. Everybody in this show pissed me off at some point in the show. The only fucker that did not piss me off was Lafayette. Lafayette was the only fucking character in this show that never pissed me off, because Lafayette was the only real character. And here's what I mean. Everybody in this series had bad shit happen to them. Lafayette was the only person that had bad shit happen to him that he didn't cause. Think about that. Everybody in the show caused the bad shit to happen to them. Lafayette had bad shit happen to him that he had nothing to do with, and he just went, well, I guess we're doing this now, right? Fuck. All right, let's get this shit over with. Lafayette was the only character in this entire series that never pissed me off. Okay. That was my tangent. Sorry. Thanks for going on the side quest with me. But that's what this panel talked about, is how characters aren't even written nowadays. They're checked off of a checklist. There aren't any compelling stories. There aren't any compelling characters. And that's what's missing nowadays. They were talking about these millennials and these fucking Gen Zers who've grown up with social media. And so they actually are under the impression that millions of people around the world give a fuck what they're talking about. So they don't watch movies more than 10 years ago. And if they do, they see some shit that might have been okay back then, not okay now. And then they start attacking it based on their sensibilities and values today, not when the movie came out. Anyway, I've dumped a lot of shit on you guys from this panel, but it was brilliant. It was fucking genius, and I loved it. And if I hadn't have just found out that my phone vomited up half of what I shot that day, this would have been amazing. All right. I will say this. I was sitting next to this woman named Rita, and Rita was really, really nice, saw my press badge, asked me who I was with. So I started telling her about the podcast, and I gave her my Linktree account with all of my social media and everything, and hopefully I have a new subscriber. But she was really, really nice to talk to and really friendly. And I told her, I said, you know, I shook her hand and, hey, it was really nice meeting you. You know, drop me a line sometime on any of my, you know, you have all of my social media. Drop me a line. And said she was going to and said she would check out the show. So, hey, Rita, if you're listening, it's really awesome meeting you. But awesomeness turned to dog shit really super quickly. And here's what I mean. After I shook Rita's hand and said how nice it was to meet her, I walked out because it was another panel I wanted to get to on horror movies. And the panel starts in like 10 minutes, and I have 3 cans of Monster floating around in my bladder, so I really need to hit a bathroom before I get to this next panel. All right. Run into the bathroom, step up in front of the urinal, and I realize that my zipper has been down for God knows how long this day. I have no fucking idea how long I've been walking around a comic book convention with my zipper down. Hopefully this was a new thing. Hopefully I wasn't talking to Catherine Corcoran and the Los Angeles Ghostbusters. And hopefully I wasn't walking around like a dipshit with my zipper down all fucking day. Now, as a grown man, there is no way to recover dignity when you realize your zipper's been down. Because as a grown man, walking around with your zipper down, there's only 2 possibilities. You're either completely fucking clueless, or you're a sex offender. That's it. Those are the only 2 possibilities. And had I not gone into the restroom at this point on the day, I probably would have walked around all fucking day with my zipper down. Murphy's Law, motherfucker. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So it was roughly around this point that I realized, you know what? You need to get the hell out of here before things get worse. And by worse, I mean there is no possible way my day could have gotten any worse without me ending up in handcuffs or the back of an ambulance, possibly both. Wasn't going to roll the dice on that. So I decided, you know what? Screw it. I'm going home. Going back to my hotel room. I'm not going home. I get back to my hotel room, and it's early. I was actually going to go to the after party. I was going to go. I don't know if I've told this story before, but LA Comic-Con does these awesome after parties every year. And a few years back, the after party was at the, I want to say it was the Globe Theater. I might be remembering this wrong, but I want to say it was the Globe Theater. Yeah, it was Globe Theater, because that's where PWG has been doing their shows lately. So anyway, you don't give a shit about that, but that just popped into my head. Anyway, a few years ago, they did the after party at the Globe Theater, and the nightclub part was off the hook. The basement, they had a basement, another nightclub in the basement, and the basement was a complete replica of the bronze from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I geeked the fuck out. I got to party at the bronze. Fuck yes. So, these after parties are usually just kick ass. And so I was gonna go, but a friend of mine hit me up and she had two tickets to the Comedy Chateau. I haven't bought my ticket for the after party yet, and I have a few friends down in LA who always tell me, hey, when you're down here, hit us up, we'll hang out, we'll do something, we'll grab drinks, we'll go here, we'll do all this shit. And she just happened to, my friend Suzanne, who I've done stand-up with, just hits me up and says, hey, I know you're in town, I've got two free tickets to the Comedy Chateau, would you like to go with me? Cool, all right. And I'm really glad I did. There was this comic named Ron Bush. And Ron, for one thing, every comic they had up that night, great. Every comic they had did such a great job. And after the show was over, I went up, I shook a lot of hands. Hey, great set tonight. You had a really good set. And they were all friendly as shit. Oh my God, they were all friendly. But this one comedian, Ron Bush, we're outside, we're talking, and he's talking to these two women. One is a producer and one is a director. And they're kind of talking about performing and producing and, you know, directing and all of these different aspects of entertainment. And Ron looks at me and says, looks at me and Suzanne and says, are you guys, how do you put it? Are you guys creative types? I believe were his words. And I just kind of shrugged and I'm like, I used to do stand-up before COVID. And I feel really bad because the female producer, I can't remember, I'm so sorry, I didn't get anybody's name other than Ron's. But the female producer says, so what you're saying is you're getting back into comedy pretty soon, right? And you know what? It's been hard. It's been really hard because I had a good role going before COVID. And I don't know what it was, but being fucking locked in my house for a year, I didn't write shit. I have done 3 stand-up performances in the last 2 years, and it's all been just rehashed shit I've done. I haven't written anything new in God knows how long. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking with these three people, and these three hyped me the fuck up. Oh my God, they did such a great job of, listen, if this is your passion, you need to get back into it. You know what? If you're nervous that you haven't been on stage in 2 years, well, that's how you know you're doing a good job. You need to dive into your fear. Oh my God, these three were amazing. I don't have a lot of people like that around me. I don't have a lot of people that hype me up and say, no, go do this. I have a lot of people who tell me that I suck at things. And so having these three just hype me the fuck up, I'm going to be starting stand-up again this week, folks. So if I start coming in and just whoring out open mic dates and paid shows, get used to that shit right now. Because thanks to Ron and these two women who were amazing, and like I said, I feel really bad that I didn't get anybody else's name. But thanks to these three, I'm starting stand-up again this week. So I'm really glad I didn't go to the after party because this would not have happened. I'm sure the after party was amazing. Oh, I saw some stuff on Instagram. Sarah Wayne Callies, who played Laurie in The Walking Dead, she was there. She was singing. She was like on stage with a band, and she did a live musical performance. That's cool as hell. Guess what? If I had got to watch her do her singing, I would not be restarting stand-up again this week. So as much as it sucks that I missed that, I was really glad that I took the Comedy Chateau tickets because these people relit the fire in me to go back and do stand-up. So I can say that Saturday absolutely sucked ass, but maybe it was because I was going to have such a great ending at the end of the day. So that happened. Awesome. Went back to my hotel. And then Sunday, I decided, screw it. I'm not going back to the convention. There was a lot of stuff I wanted to see that I ended up missing. There was a tribute to William Shatner on the main stage. I missed William Shatner. There was some more panels I wanted to see. But A, I have my best friend in the world. Is this woman named Catherine, lives down in Burbank now. And she and I set up lunch like weeks ago. Hey, I'm going to be in town. You want to get together? And she's like, hey, let's do lunch on Sunday. Cool. So I had plans with one of my best friends to do lunch. And then I had to come back and write some stand-up shit. So I decided to kind of pull the ripcord on Sunday. That was LA Comic Con. I had a good time when I wasn't, you know, when Karma wasn't making me her bitch. But yeah, so that was this weekend. So I did find out that I've been very unclear. Last year was the first year that I got press passes for this podcast. This year I kind of got my bearings as to what the process is. So I'm going to be getting hopefully I'm going to be applying for press passes for WonderCon in March. So hopefully in March I can do another one of these shows talking about WonderCon and what a cool weekend that was for me. So anyway, that's this week's show. Sorry I didn't do one last week on Survivor Series, but it's a fucking WWE show. If you've seen one, you've seen them all, and right? Anyway, that one pissed some people off. I'm sure I pissed somebody off at that one. Anyway, that was LA Comic Con. Had a good time, despite all the, you know, horribly karmic shit that happened to me. And I'm looking forward to going again next year. So, all right. You know what? That's it. I'm done. I do have another thing to talk about real quick. Anchor, who is the hosting site for this show. Anchor did this awesome thing where it shows you how much content. You open up the app and it shows you how much content you've put out this year. And it told me that I put out 900 minutes of content in 2022. It then went on to tell me that that is better than 82% of the people on Anchor. So I am in the top 82% of content providers on Anchor, put out 900 minutes this year. So I was proud of that. I was really proud of that until I did the math. And 900 minutes is only 15 hours. My shows usually average between 45 minutes to an hour. That means I put out 15 shows in 52 weeks. I should not have done that math. I really shouldn't have. So, anyway, you know what? I'm going to go for 17 shows in 2023. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. Put out like two or three more shows than I did this year. All right. So anyway, folks, I'm Greg Hernandez, the Ninja Nerd Warrior. You can find me on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, because it's not dead yet, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and what am I missing? I actually just started writing Moody. I started writing, it's 3 a.m. here, folks. I just started writing movie reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you want to go check out my reviews for They Live and Embrace of the Vampire, go ahead and check me out. Just look up Greg Hernandez, look up the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast on Rotten Tomatoes. And if I get 200 followers, that actually moves me up into top movie reviewers. So go check out my movie reviews because, frankly, I get bored. I watch different movies and I write smart-ass reviews about them. So anyway, if you enjoy my show and you want to share it with people you like or people you don't like, I don't judge. Hit the share button and send my show to somebody that might enjoy it. You can find me on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. You can find me on Amazon Music and Audible. So with that, I am going to call it a night, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
want you.